There you go. Harder Times is the name of it. Of course, you heard it many times in the programme over the last few weeks. It's brand new from the Blades, and Paul Cleary is here. Paul, how you doing? Are you
all right? Hiya, Dave. I'm good, yeah.
Good. Listen, Paul, what was I going to say? Brand new from the Blades. We're up to three decades.
I know.
More or less. Tell me about, you didn't want it to be the same as a couple of years ago, coming back, if you like. You wanted to have some new music out.
Yeah. When we played the first gigs in the Olympia in 2013, we did two nights. Now, remember, we played our first gig, Dave, in 1977. Mm. So it's a long time, and we thought it was a one-off then. The two gigs, we would do them and see what happened. Because we were so well received and the crowd were great, they really were, we thought, well, and we were well rehearsed for that show, and as far as I'm concerned, it's difficult for me to be objective, but I thought we gave a good show and we were professional and so on. I didn't want it to be a load of old lags just getting up, taking a few bob and running away. I wanted to do it properly. And then to really do it properly, I thought, why not write some songs? Wouldn't it be novel almost for a band coming back after such a long time? To have a new CD, as they say, to have some new product, and I wanted to write. I'm a songwriter anyway. I mean, I'm more of a songwriter, to be honest, I think, than I am a performer. Even I mean, that's what I do best, and that's what I enjoy most. And it was a great opportunity just to write some new songs and to have the Blades to have some new material. You know.
Okay. Well, look, just the whole idea of the coming out of retirement bit. I mean, I would imagine one of the things that might have done it for you, and this is a poignant thing that I haven't actually mentioned to you, was the Philip Chevron gig at the Olympia some years back, which was kind of like the testimonial to Phil, if you like, who was there on the night and very weak, and fantastic stuff from his family there. Really, kind of like there was. Wonderful, etc. Everybody got up on stage, did their bit. You got up and did two songs. And you know, something I didn't tell you. Do you know who I was standing beside towards the back, who was just like obviously beaming from ear to ear? You can guess.
Charles Bourne.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right, Charles.
And he was just like, no, there. He was speechless.
Right.
And like Paul Cleary, so is there a possibility the Blades could come back? And you did. So would I be right in saying that that showed you something?
Oh, it did.
You only did about two numbers.
Two numbers. That was everybody's brief. I mean, just to go back just a little bit before that, in 2012, I started to write songs again, and I wrote a song called I Still Believe in You, and I wasn't in contact with the band, with the Blades then, so I went in and recorded it, played all the instruments myself, reasonably badly, but I played them all myself, and I recorded that, which is now on the EP. I thought it was significant and should be there, because that was the genesis of me starting to write songs again. So that I Still Believe in You is the fourth track on the fourth track, our new fourth track EP called Small Time. Anyway, the next year, 2013, Philip Chevron had this novel idea of having, he knew he was dying, and he thought he would have his own memorial while he was still there to see it, which I think was great, you know. And Philip was great on the night, and he chose the acts, and the brief was to sing one of his songs and one of your own songs. And there was something I couldn't refuse, even if I wanted to, because I was very nervous, very apprehensive. You know, I have played on my own to crowds before, but I hadn't done it in a while. Getting up an electric guitar and banging out a few songs to a packed Olympia, who aren't there necessarily specifically to see you either. So I remember being in the wings, and I really forget, with all due respect to whoever was on before me, because I was just thinking of my own thing. And I was there at the side with my guitar and thinking, I'm going to be on. You know, there's a full Olympia there, and okay, they're in reasonably good form and quite raucous, but really, you know, I'm putting my hand out to be slapped. And I was really pleased with the reception, and I thought it went reasonably well for me, and that really did give me the final spur. I remember ringing someone a couple of days later and saying, look, ring MCD and see if they give us a gig in the Olympia around December, because that way people coming back from, you know, my age group, and maybe a lot of people living in England and America and so on, they'll be coming back to see their families anyway, and if they thought the Blades were playing the Olympia, they might just come along and see. And that's what happened. But that was the last sort of push I needed, I think. And in terms of George, for people who don't know who you're talking about, George Bourne, who died this year, George is a great Blades follower, but also a fantastic journalist, and in terms of music, movies, he was just a great guy. He's one of the most intelligent, witty, funny guys I've ever been with. And I worked with George a lot years ago on RTE. We used to write questions for a quiz show called Blackboard Jungle, which Ray Darcy used to present. And I spent a lot of time with George and got to know him really well. Now, George was one of the Blades' biggest supporters, you know.
He
was always encouraging, and I'm glad you said that, though. I didn't realise he was standing at the back with
you. But not only that, then, just to stick with the Phil Chevron thing in some ways, because you mentioned immigration there as well. If you think of all the stuff that Phil Chevron did, he was influenced a lot by writers and the James Joyce kind of side of things and that. You were influenced more by either where you came from or where you saw people around you not getting the breaks that others would have got. So in other words, you were writing love songs on one side and you were writing what might be called kitchen sink realism stuff on the other side. And you were very aware of those kind of, sure. You know, the two things together. That was the Blades.
Yeah, well, I suppose I've always had and still have, in a way, a working class chip on my shoulder. And really, yeah. I think the main difference is opportunities between, you know, the working class don't have the opportunities, particularly to go to university. It's improving now, but I always found that to be in some ways a disgrace, and it did in a way narrow the opportunities for working class people in the arts and in all types of different areas. So that was my main bugbear at the time. And now, as I've got older, I may have mellowed ever so slightly, but I don't think I've moved too far from the left. Yeah. I may have moved into the centre. I mean, the centre from where I was, which was very far left,
right,
politically. So that's where I was coming from. So I was very anxious to get there across. And remember, at the time when we started, there wasn't the amount of working class bands there. Now, rock and roll was a middle class sport. Now, for some people listening now who would be like 25, 30 years of age, they mightn't realise this, but it was really. And so I was a bit annoyed that punk was a sort of a street movement. And I just didn't, I wanted people to know that they're sort of bona fides, were genuine, and that we were the real deal in terms of being a working class band playing this new wave stroke street music.
But like, also, like, if you look at the music that you grew up on, like, I mean, it's not just that it was all like suddenly, I mean, okay, punk and all the rest of it opened the door for you, but there was Cat Stevens and Elton John and Paul Simon and James Taylor and Slade and T-Rex and all the usual stuff of, yeah, a certain age,
sure,
that you grew up with, either in your house or on the radio, whatever it happened to be. And then the Vipers come along and play McGonagall's, etc. And then you were playing all those kind of gigs in the late 70s, etc. Dr. Feelgood obviously opened a few doors in terms of change and everything. All those things were important to you, as was reggae and as was kind of soul music and, yeah, everything else. So the whole lot came into the Blades too, because the soul stuff, I mean, even like, you know, the brass thing was not just a gimmick, it was some part of who you were.
Yeah.
So it was a different thing that you were doing, really.
It was, and maybe, I mean, sometimes it could be seen as my downfall in some ways in terms of why the Blades were never a huge band, because possibly and probably I was trying to get too much in. I mean, I love so many different types of music, but as I said before, my main ones, I suppose, my holy trinity would be the Beatles, the Sex Pistols, and soul music,
right,
Motown. So I was trying to incorporate all of the best elements of that type of music in the Blades. And as well as that, remember, I still have an ego. I still sort of think I'm a reasonably good songwriter. Therefore, I was trying to make it original. It's no point in being a pastiche or a parody of these bands. You know, you have to bring something original to the table. So I was always acutely aware of that too. So that's what I wanted the Blades to have their own sound. And I think we've achieved that. I think now you could hear something by the Blades and say, in fact, Harder Times, the track you just played at the beginning of this piece, when people heard that first, they said, it's very Bladesy.
It is very Bladesy.
Which I think is
Can I just say something too? Like, much as I loved, like, the first five singles of the Blades are just still, like, just like from Revelations of Heartache, obviously, Hot For You, The Bride Wore White, Ghost of a Chance, etc., Dan Market, all those songs, I was just powerful in that. But there was one thing, when the album came out, I just thought, like, it's not that I expect a bunch of songs that kind of have a bit of a demo sound, which, by the way, I really love, that I expect better production on the album. But there was something about the album that didn't necessarily, I don't know, it didn't click on to people. And then the amount of people that said the Blades were going to be the next band to make it, that was one of the reasons I thought they mightn't have.
Yeah, well, you know, I probably tried to get too much in on the album. And it didn't come at a great time to record. Had we recorded an album maybe a year or two before that, I think I was moving away. Remember, my brother Larry, who was quite a big influence on the band, was the main guitarist in the band. He started the band with me, and Larry left in 81, I think. So in 82, around late 81, 82, Jake and Brian came in, and also we got the brass, and so we were changing as a band. And so I was still writing songs. I was in between writing songs for a three-piece and then trying to write brass parts as well. So it was a sort of a transition period for us in 1984, in a way. I'd got used to the brass at that stage, so there were new songs written with the brass in mind, like The Last Man in Europe and stuff,
right,
like that. So it was just a changeover period. So I think I tried to do too much. That would be a legitimate criticism, I think. Although I still think, like, the likes of George, who was a big George Burner, who we spoke about earlier, he gave the album a great review in Hot Press, and people still love that album. And funnily, yeah, enough, I can go back to it now and play it occasionally, and it doesn't date the way some of those albums from the mid-80s do, you know?
No, that's one of the good things about that, it doesn't date, but also it didn't seem, like, I'm just saying that at the time it needed something that wasn't. I thought it might be the next album and then be,
sure,
able to get it or whatever.
Yeah.
But okay, like, whatever about the intervening years, you're now back and you've written some stuff, so, like, will there be an album?
Well, there will, and reluctant as I was before to say something like that, but I can say now, as far as I'm concerned, we'll be recording an album next year. The EP has been reasonably successful, it's still going well. we seem to, we recorded it reasonably quickly and still recorded it well, because the band themselves are better players now, obviously, as we've got a little bit older. We know what we're doing in the studio, and I think I've become a better songwriter. So it's just a bit easier to do. And so I think we can do an album. And our last Blades album was 1980. It was out, and we recorded it in 84. It was out in 85. And I think it would be great to have one, whatever, 30 years later.
Okay, well, the four numbers, or at least the EP, will we see all those songs on the 5th of December at the Olympia?
Well, yeah, we're certainly going to do Small Time, the title track of the EP, and Harder Times, which is getting a lot of airplay, which is great. Mm. All Fall Down is a bit trickier because it has more percussion than a drum kit. I wanted to give it that sort of Brian Wilson Pet Sounds. That's why I dedicated the song to George, who's a huge fan. We used to listen to Pet
big
Sounds. We were writing questions for Blackboard Jungle.
Yeah, big Beach Boys fan.
Yeah, so and Brian Wilson in particular, and that's really Brian Wilson's album, you know, Pet Sounds. So I'm sort of influenced by that, but we're going to try it. We did it in rehearsal. It sounds reasonably well. And the last song, I Still Believe in You, we actually did last year. I did it with myself on stage, and Fitzy on keyboard, and Connor on guitar. If you remember from the show, we do all the hits, if you can call them hits, our hit stroke misses. We do a lot of them, and then a lot of the band go off, and I sing, maybe Some People Smile and Animation, and then Fitzy, Pat Fitz, the keyboard player, and Connor Bailey, the guitarist, come on, and we do something like I Still Believe, and we might do All Fall Down then. I still haven't quite worked out the set list. But as you well know, I think what people, sometimes people hear me coming on the radio, people who wouldn't be overly familiar with the band, and think that guy sounds a bit solemn or a bit serious, or even a bit boring.
Yeah.
The Blades are not boring.
No,
live.
No,
and the crowd are not boring.
No.
I mean, and it's a cliche, every band loves their own crowd, but our crowd, I think, are particularly good, really good natured, but really raucous. And the atmosphere at the Olympia the last couple of years has been just fantastic.
Yeah, and they will be there on the 5th of December. Just one last thing we didn't mention, and just finally, before I play a classic Blades track, Paul Cleary is who we're talking to. The old Tuesday nights at the Baggot in Dublin, when it was like, I'd be playing music, you'd come on, I'd play music, you too would come on,
yeah.
I'd play music, and that kind of thing. Like, it was funny times, wasn't it, in some ways? Like, you know, you'd be on first, and like half the people would leave.
Yeah. Well, so I believe, I'm not sure, did half the people leave? Is that real?
I know, I don't know. But like, all these myths
sure.
Going on. No, they didn't. So they were waiting for me to play more.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, I think, for instance, around those times, we were in some ways mutually exclusive bands. I don't think we should have been, but I think we're seen as that, really. But the likes of yourself, you were always a big fan of the Blades and you too, so
yeah.
I think you can like both bands, you know.
Yeah,
but I think some people thought you can't like Rangers and Celtic as well, you know.
All right, listen, thanks a million, Paul. Paul Cleary, it is the 5th of December. The Blades are playing. The EP is out at the moment. The EP is called?
Small Time.
Small Time it is indeed, and might be an album in 2016, but it is the 5th of December at the Olympia in Dublin. So now I'm going to play what I call a Blades classic.